Bible out here. All right, well, you should be on your way to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I'll tell you, have you ever had one of those times where you feel so overwhelmed that by life, that joy seems out of reach? Yeah, that's when you go through the routines and you shuffle through responsibilities, and but joy feels like a distraction or a luxury. And joy just seems out of, I mean, just the Ecclesiastes, the author, he understands that. He understands. He doesn't ignore death. He doesn't ignore suffering. He doesn't ignore, I mean, last passage we just read was, you know, the same fate. Death comes to everybody. But yet he turns, and this passage we're going to read, it's go and eat your bread with joy and drink, because he knows that joy is grace. It's not escapism, it's not hedonism, it's not denial. Joy is grace. It's seeing life whole, real, and valuable. And so that's where we're at today. We're in Ecclesiastes 9, 7 through 10. Let's go ahead and stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. And praise God if you're able. It's okay if you're not. Go, eat your food with gladness, and drink your wine with joyful heart. For God has already provided, approved what you do. Always be clothed in white, and always appoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, and all the days of this meaningless life that God has given to you under the sun, and all your meaningless days. For this is your lot in life, and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither work, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. Let's pause for prayer before we go any further. Father God, Lord, we praise you today. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful blessing of your scriptures. Lord, I pray that your word be in our hearts today, Lord, and our minds be filled with you. That as we mutter on this, we meditate on this, may that we focus in and hear what you'd have us to hear right now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Smoke's aggravating my asthma today, so you have to be patient with me. Go and eat your bread with joy. Now, in the Hebrew, which is the language it was originally written in, that word go is a command. It's an imperative. It's not just an invitation. It's not like, go, why don't you come eat some bread with us? Or why don't we go to the Chili's and have some baby back ribs? It's a command. It's go. Get yourself going. It's a call to action. Start living. Bread and wine, these are not festive foods. They're staples of life in that area. This is just what you need to survive. It's bread and wine. Start living. Not a feast, not luxuries, but common table. Why? Because God has already approved what you do. He isn't saying just do whatever you want. He's saying that God delights in giving you good gifts. And when you receive them with gratitude, we honor the giver, which is God. I mean, this sentence, this very command, go and enjoy, isn't, what if the most spiritual thing you were to do today wasn't going to church, wasn't reading your Bible? What if the most spiritual thing you did today was to enjoy a meal with someone you love? How does that change your thinking? The sandwich at lunch, or the coffee on the porch, the laughter around a dinner table. Joy isn't fake, it's faithful. And the reality of joy can occur when God has invaded our lives. And so he goes on, let your garments be always white, not oil, and let oil not be lacking on your head, which sounds really weird to us because we don't go around pouring oil on our heads. This isn't about a dress code, like everyone's supposed to be wearing white in here. This is a metaphor. In ancient Israel, white clothes and oils were symbol of celebrations, such as weddings and feasts and the holy days. But here he says, always. He doesn't just say on the wedding day or on the feast day. He's always. Don't just celebrate, have joy when your bills are paid. Don't just have joy when the diagnosis is clear. Don't just have joy when you receive the Christmas present or when your grandkids finally call. Always. It's an invitation to live with a framework of celebration on our hearts. Not naive. He knows about suffering. He knows about death. He knows how hard life is. He's not saying be naive, but live in that rooted in grace celebration that we can always be blessed. Even when things aren't working out the way you want them to. We can have joy even when you feel sad, which is contrary to the way our world thinks. Isn't it? Joy and sadness are opposites in the way the world thinks. But he says it's not. He says you can be with the framework of celebration and joy even when things are hard, even when death comes, even when... And so it's not that we pretend that life isn't hard. It means that we trust that God is good, even when our life is hard. Because God is good, right? All the time. And all the time, God is good. There you go. I knew someone would still remember that. God is good. And what's our habits and our rhythms, they speak miles about our theology. The way we look at joy. Are we living life like it's Saturday when Sunday and the resurrection Sunday has already come? Living life like Jesus is still dead in the tomb? Worse yet, still on the cross? He says, live with joy. Enjoy the life. Enjoy the wife whom you love all the days of this vain life. Now, that word in the vain life, remember that's that word hevel, that grasping vapor breath. Not that it's a short life, it's a fleeting life, it's precious. It's something you can't hold on to and keep forever. Life will slip through your hands. And so he says, for him, it's his wife, right? And probably to most of the people he's speaking to at that time period would have been males. He says, but it's essentially saying, enjoy the people God has placed in your life. Enjoy the people that God has placed in your life. Saying, the relationships God has made us for joyful connection. If we're made as part of his image, if we're made, maybe part of that is we are for communion. I mean, even he is in communion. He creates the heavenly host. He created us. Not because he needs us, some vain, proudful need for worshipers. What he desires to be in communion with us, desires to have us co-rule with him, to put us in authority, It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 where he says that stuff. And even though life can be brief, there's a brevity to all of it, that, and it can't cancel out the beauty of love, because joy is best when it's shared. And so we have to focus on the people around us right now that we can share joy with: your spouse, kids, grandkids, friends, neighbors. God is inviting you to enjoy, not just endure these people, right? I put up with them, but to enjoy them. And to spread joy with them and be joyful and to work with joy. He goes on, he says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might. Do it to your best. Be all that you can in your job or in all that you do. So a lot of times we in the United States, we get focused on our jobs, right? Some of you remember this. When you retired, some of you retired, but you know this. You retired and you lost all sense of who you were, your identity. Because you were, and the first thing you said, who are you? And the first thing you would say is, whatever your job was. I am. And so when you retired, willingly or unwillingly, you lost all sense of who you were. But this isn't just saying, okay, when in your occupation. He's saying in all that you do. So be the best parents that you can be. Be the best grandparents that you can be. Be the best retired person you can be. Do it with energy, with enthusiasm, with grit, with joy. He says, be with whatever you do with your hands, whatever you're doing, do it with all your might. Because one day you won't be able to. Life under the sun is temporary. But work done with God in view echoes throughout eternity. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work heartily at it as for the Lord. That word for might, that word for strength is strength, vigor, power. And it's all about your full body effort, but it's also about what God gives you to work with you. So using all your gifts as well, those spiritual gifts as well. Working at it with your joy, working at it with the fruits of the Spirit, working at it with all that you have, the money that you have, your strength is a gift, so use it with joy. And let's be honest. Joy, we like to use it here at church, but that's not the word the world uses for us as Christians. That's not what they think of when they think of Christians. They use words like anti-whatever, homophobic, anti-religion, anti-thought, anti-abortion, anti. They don't use the word joy. They think of things like duty. They think of things like rules. They think of words like hate. They think of words like judgment. Like no fuddy-duddies. There's that word again. I'm gonna bring back fuddy-duddy as a word. That's the words they think of. When they hear the word joy, it's not Christians they think of. What if we shocked them? What if we shocked them? What if we shocked them and were joyful? What if the most evangelical thing we did this week was to laugh at the table, work with purpose, and hold someone's hand and be thankful for God for that peanut butter sandwich you're enjoying. What if that was the most evangelical thing we could do this week? Show them joy, the joy of Christ. Even when things are hard and things are not going well, and it's not masking it with say, well, I'm pretending to be happy when things are falling apart. You can be sad and full of God's joy at the same time. In the very face of death, expansive, expressive joy is not only possible, but in this passage, it's demanded. Go. Because we know something that the world forgets. Life is short, yes, but it's also sacred. Every breath, every bite, every step, every relationship, every good day, every hard day is grace. And so if we destroy relationships because we're not showing it, at treating it as sacred, we're not being joyful. If we Bible says we're supposed to go, eat, drink, work, love, and we do it all with joy. And so as we think of today, as we close today, maybe there's someone in this room who is in rebellion to God, but maybe your heart is not about rebellion to God, it's that you're ungrateful. You're not thankful for the little things in life, for the relationships you have. Life is so hard that you're focused on the negative things, you can't even see the relationships you have. Maybe even rushing through life, missing the joy that's right in front of you. Would you ask that God opens your eyes to see the bread as a blessing, see love as a miracle, see work as worship, see life as a gift? Maybe that's where you're at today. Father God, Lord, I praise you today. Lord, I thank you for this blessing of your Spirit. Lord, I pray that we may be a people known for the joy in our lives. If the fruit of the Spirit's love and joy, may we be known first for the love that we have for you, the love we have for our neighbors as ourselves, and the joy that we have through you, even when life is hard, wrapped up in gratitude and miracle of blessings that you have provided us. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I pray for anyone in this room who has lost sight of the joy that you provide in grace. Lord, I know that one sermon isn't enough to fix all problems. But Lord, I know that in our problems we can find joy in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Gloria, what a blessing you are. That was a pretty... All right, we're in the Bible today. Have you ever been so overwhelmed by life that joy just seemed out of reach? You wake up, you go through your routines, you shuffle through. Go through all your responsibilities. But joy feels like a distraction or a luxury. Ecclesiastes, the author here, he understands that he doesn't ignore death or suffering or disappointment. I mean, just last week we were talking about death comes to everybody, the fate of all. But in that hard truth, he says, go and eat your bread with joy and drink your wine and be merry heart. Why? Because this preacher, he's showing us joy is not denial of life, but joy is grace. Joy is an escape. It's not hedonism. Joy is seeing life whole and real and valuable and full of grace. That's what we're talking about today. So we're going to Ecclesiastes 9, 7 through 10. So hopefully you've already turned there or scrolled there or pushed your button there or flipped there or whatever way you're using to get to the scriptures, because we're going to stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. So let's go ahead and do that. Go, eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart. For God has already approved what you do. Always be clothed in white and always appoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. All your meaningless days. For this is your lot in life, and in your toilsome labor under the sun, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither work, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go any further. Father God, Lord, we praise you today. We thank you for this word. We pray that our hearts be to hear your word. Lord, I pray that any satan, any adversary that is real or imagined that is in our way, that is trying to steal our joy, trying to take our focus away from you, that I rebuke that right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that our hearts be on you and our adversaries be behind us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now I'm going to be drinking a little bit of water. These smoke coming up from the valley has got me going, so you'll have to put up with me today. Excuse me. Eat, drink, and with joy. The passage says, eat your bread, go. Eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart. Now, that word go there, that's what we call imperative. It's not an invitation. Hey, why don't we go to Chick-fil-A, get a sandwich, and have a good time? No, this is an imperative. It's a command. Go. Get yourself. Call to action. It's actually in the imperfect because it's not finished yet. So go. Get yourself, call to action, start living life, bread and wine. Now, bread and wine, when we think of wine, we think of celebrations, not with them. They think of everyday life. Bread, wine, these are not luxury items, these are everyday meal items, the staples. He says, God has already approved what you do. And this isn't just saying, do whatever you want. He's saying, God delights in giving you good gifts. And we receive them with gratitude. When we see them with joy, we honor the giver. And the giver is God. I mean, let me think about that. If we're commanded to go with joy, what if the most, and eat bread and wine, what if the most spiritual thing you did today wasn't you went to church, wasn't that you read your Bible, wasn't that you listened to a preacher, What if the most spiritual thing you did today was to enjoy a meal with someone you love? That sandwich at lunch, that coffee on the porch, that laughter around the dinner table. That's a different way of thinking, isn't it? Because we always put, well, I read my Bible. Did we enjoy? He says, go. And that's the reality. The reality of joy only occurs when God invades our lives. He said, go and enjoy. Not just an activity that you do to get on the right side, right, to do your spiritual watering system. But it invades the aspects of your life where we're just sitting and talking and enjoying having a meal with the person that you love. And he goes on, let your garments always be white. Now that does not mean everyone in here should go get white clothes and that's all we wear. Pouring oil on our heads every day, slick it back, right? That's not what he's saying. He's saying in ancient Israel, white clothes and oil as a blessing were seen as symbols of celebrations, such as weddings and feasts and the holy days. So he's saying, like that, but always, not just in special occasions, always. So not just when the bills are paid. Not just when the diagnosis is clear. Not just when the teacher has a sub. Not just, but always an invitation to live with a mind frame of celebration. And this isn't being naive. Koheleth here, he's not naive. He knows life is hard. He knows death happens. He knows sometimes we get sad. He's not being naive. He's saying, but in that, during that, in spite of that, we can still live with the framework of joy. Because joy can still be in your life even when you're sad. And it doesn't mean you don't pretend life isn't hard. Going around, oh, I'm always blessed, right? So nothing ever is wrong. That's fake. That ain't real. It's okay not to be okay. Sometimes life is rough. Some of you have had it really hard. But that doesn't mean you don't trust God. That doesn't mean that life isn't, you don't have a framework of joy. Trust God. Trust that God is good even when life's hard. Because God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. I knew some of you would remember that. And our habits, our rhythms, life say about our theology of joy. They say whether we live in a framework of joy even when life is hard. It says whether we believe Jesus is resurrected. We believe that there's a place for us. Some of you are still living like it's Saturday and God's still in the tomb when Jesus has gotten out and lived. And so we live with joy. We love with joy. He comes on, he says, enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life under the sun. That vain life. Now that word, remember, that's that Hebrew word. We've seen it several times in this book as we've been going through it. That havel, it's that vapor, that breath that you can't hold on to. No matter how much you try to hold on to your life, you go to all the doctor's appointments, take all the pills you can take, eat right. You may prolong your life, but it's still going to slip through your fingers. No one can stop the hands of time. That doesn't mean you don't start trying to eat right and do what your doctor tells you. But that does mean it's going to slip through your fingers. Life is short. Life is fleeting. But that makes it more precious, not less precious. We should be treating our life as it's sacred because it's so precious. And that the preacher, he goes on, he says, enjoy the people God has placed in your life. In this short life, enjoy. Now for him, it was his wife, right? For the people that he was probably mostly talking to, it would have been males at that society at that time. So enjoy your wife. But this not just saying that, but it's saying that in this short life, God has made us for relationships. God has made us for connections. Even in the brevity of life, it can't cancel out the beauty of love. Because joy is best when it's shared. Just like love. We love, God first and then our neighbor as ourselves. Love is, we love because we were first loved. Joy, too, is best when we share it. And we have to remember the people around us right now. Some of you have forgotten the people around you right now. Your spouse, your kids, your grandkids, your neighbors. God is inviting you to enjoy, not just endure them, right? We don't just put up with them. But to enjoy them and join in them with joy in all that we do. And we work with joy. He says, goes on, he says, whatever your hands find to do. That's not just your occupation. A lot of us, we get caught up in our occupations. Some of you guys that have been retired, you remember this. When you retired, you felt like you didn't know who you were anymore. Why? Because the first thing that you thought of when you said, who am I? You listed your job. I'm a mechanic. I'm a nurse. I'm a teacher. I'm a student. And that's the first thing you thought of. And then when that was taken away by choice or by otherwise, you didn't know who you were no more. You felt like less than a person. Didn't know who you were. But that's not what God's talking about. He's not just talking about your work. He's saying in all that you do, with everything your hands find to do, do it to your best. With all your might. Be all in. Be all in your job. Be all in your parenting. Be all in your schooling. Be all in your serving. Be all in your, do with energy, enthusiasm, grit, and joy. Because one day you won't be able to do it no more. Why? Not just because you're old. Because as long as you're still here, you got things to do. But because life under this sun is temporary. When the works of God is done, he'll call you home. And that echoes what work we do to the best of our ability, what are we do with all our might, that echoes into eternity. Students, you work to the best of your ability where you're working, it'll echo on through the rest of your life on into eternity. Retired? You do that with the best of your ability, it'll echo on through the rest of your life and into eternity. And we start screwing that up, right? We don't do it with all the best we can. We start doing things that God tells us not to with all our might. Well, that echoes on to eternity too, doesn't it? Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord. And that word might, it's the word that means strength, power, vigor. It's more than just about full-bodied effort. It's about giving and doing with all that God has given you to work with, which means you work with your money. You do the best you can with your money. It means you work with the spiritual gifts he has given you. Works with the spiritual fruits that he's developing in you. You work with all the joy that you got. The gifts, so we use it with joy. And let's be honest. I'm sitting here saying, let's be joyful. I'm saying, and we like to say that word in church, right? But let's be honest. When the world thinks of Christians, it's not joy they think of. No, what do they think of when they think about Christians? Maybe you're anti-something. Anti-this or anti-that, and anti-abortion, anti... Think of rules, regulations. That mean guy who said, Jesus loves you, but I don't, so smacks you across the face, you know. That Bible passages that we use to thump them over the head with, right? Serious. No, I'm bringing back a word. Fuddy-duddies. Fuddy-duddies. When they hear the word Christians, this is the kind of attitude they think of. They don't think of joy. What if we were to surprise them? What if instead of being focused on what we can't do and what they shouldn't be doing, you shouldn't be doing this. Reverence. I don't know why you got to say it in three syllables, but you got to. What if instead of focusing on what we can't do, rules, hate, what if we shock them with joy? What if we shock them with joy? What if the most evangelical thing you could do to tell others about the love and the joy of Jesus Christ was to show joy in your own life? Even when things were hard. Working with purpose. Holding someone's hand. Thanking God out loud for the peanut butter sandwich. Laughing at the table. In the face of death, expansive and expressive joy isn't just possible. No, remember back to the beginning of that passage. It's commanded. Demanded. Go. Eat. Drink with joy. Because we know something the world forgets. Yes, life is short, but it's sacred. It's unto God. It's sacred. Every breath is sacred. Every bite is sacred. Every relationship is sacred. Every good day is sacred. Every hard day is sacred. It's full of grace because of Jesus Christ. And that's the blessing. And so let's shock the world with joy. So we go, we eat, we drink, we love, we work, and we do it all with joy. Now I'm willing to bet someone in this room right now that it's not rebellion that they're struggling with. There's some people in here I know are struggling with rebellion. They've forgotten who Jesus is. They don't ever know him. They don't believe in him. They want to rebel against him. But I bet you there's someone in this room right now that it's not that they're struggling with. They're struggling with ingratitude. They've forgotten the blessing. They've forgotten the joy. And they see, and when you get caught up in that, it's hard for you to see. Someone says, well, I don't have anything good in my life. And the first thing you say, you can list, you can go up to them and say, oh, you got this and this and this, and they don't see it. You've got to see it for yourself. You got to see the blessings in front of you with thankfulness. Some of you have been rushing through life, missing the joy in front of you. Would you ask God to open your eyes this week to see the joy in front of you? As we see bread as a blessing, as we see love as a miracle, as we see work as worship. Yeah, school is worship. Worship of God, it's all in how you do it. And life is a gift. We got to treat it as such. We treat it as such. It's a gift that God has given us, that every passing day, this fleeting life, is a gift. And so we can't let it pass us by without the joy in this short life. Father God, right now, I praise you. Lord, I pray that our hearts and our minds be turned to you. Lord, I pray that we see the joy in the little things, the gifts you have given us. Lord, Father, I pray that our hearts be full of your joy. Just as love is to be shared, I pray that we share joy with others.